with my return from vacation, we fall back into our more traditional routines, which means our next guest back in his Tuesday leadoff spot. Find all he's up to on the cover of the Register Guard sports section online, registerguard.com, on Twitter, at Austin Meek RG. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. Got college football coming up this weekend. I'm just on my way back from Corvallis talking to the Beavers, so it's a good time of year.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting, they play Saturday, Colorado State. Now, that is far. You know, Oregon's got Southern Utah. I realize Nebraska is a tall order, but that, for a program that's trying to get back to a bowl game, that might be under the radar as find a kind of a dangerous opening game for the Beavs, no?
Yeah, no, it's game to open with on the road to Colorado State. Colorado State's been in. They are opening a new stadium, which apparently is going to be sold out. Oregon State is breaking in a new quarterback and still has not won on the road since 2014. Not won a road game under Gary Anderson. So, yeah, they're hands full for sure in that game. In fact, I believe they are a slight underdog against Colorado State.
Wow. Now let's get to what really matters. Yesterday, it seemed to unite the world, the eclipse. I mentioned I was at the coast. I had a perfect view. Considering the last one was 1979, so we can call this Austin's debut eclipse. How did you and yours get to drink it all in, and did you get a wow out of it?
I totally geeked over it, and I got to say, and people will disagree with this, but I thought it totally lived up to the hype, if you saw it in totality. Now, I talked to a lot of people back in Eugene who just saw the partial eclipse and were like, I don't know what all the fuss was about. But what we did was we left at about 6 in the morning. We drove up Peoria Road between Eugene and Corvallis. I went through Harrisburg, just went in some back roads, got into the path of totality, found a little patch of gravel, pulled the truck over, sat there, watched the whole thing, and I thought it was just mind-blowing. Nothing like it that you see on planet Earth. Just it felt like being on a different planet, the way the light changed, and that 1.5 minutes of totality felt like it went by in about 10 seconds. But I have to say it was one of the coolest experiences of my life.
Yeah, I was all in. One of the reasons we scheduled our vacation at the coast is because we knew where we were going to be and what was going to happen. So, yeah, as far as I was concerned, I'm with you. If you're not going to geek out over that, what are you going to geek out over? It's interplanetary, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I'm pretty cynical by nature. You know, it takes a lot for me to really be genuinely moved by something, but that did it. That was just pretty cool.
I thought you guys at the Guard came up with a very cool concept last week, that public forum featuring, let's call it, the four horsemen of the Register Guard with yourself and Ken Woody and Steve Mims and Ryan. So overall, that whole idea, that whole concept, that whole event, from your chair, how was the turnout? What was your impression?
Well, you know, at the last minute, we changed it up a little bit. We charged $5 to get in the door, so you really had to be pretty committed to want to come and buy a ticket. But we still had a pretty good turnout, and it was a fun discussion. You know, people came prepared with a lot of questions, which, you know, that's good. That's what you want at a town hall type forum. I thought Ken Woody was in rare form. He was definitely the star of the show, and it was fun. We had a good time with it.
So nobody got confused about this town hall, and you weren't getting yelled at about healthcare.
No, we had our panel discussion with legislators a couple weeks before that, so people got that all out of their system by the time we were up there.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. I obviously get to spend a lot of time with Kenny on our pre- and post-game show, and you actually asked him a pretty poignant question. They switched to a 4-3 last year, back to a 3-4 this year. Is the personnel right? So, and I think you said to him, is it logical to think you could just flip a switch and succeed? What did he have to say about that? That was one of the first questions I think you asked him.
Well, Ken has the perspective, obviously, of a coach, which is different than the perspective that we have being in the media. So that's why it was nice to have him with us. And my position on it was, I thought that the switch to the 4-3 last year was just doomed to fail from the start because I didn't think they had the personnel to run the defense. Ken's perspective on it was, it's not that big a deal to go from one to the other if you have good players. And, you know, maybe that's what it comes down to for Oregon, you know, whether you got four defensive linemen or four linebackers out there, do you have enough good players in your front seven? I think one of the issues for Oregon going back a couple years when they were still running the 3-4 is their linebacker play just wasn't good enough. It wasn't up to snuff. So if you can't put four good linebackers on the field in the 3-4, then you got problems. It's kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul, you know. It's like, well, you know, we're not happy with our linebacker play, so we're going to go to the 4-3, but then you got to find four defensive linemen. Now they're back to the 3-4, and they got to find four linebackers to put out there. I still don't know if they have the personnel in the front seven to really make a significant upgrade in the defense, but I guess one positive of the change would be Oregon's been a program that's run the 3-4. They've been recruiting for it. It was just that one year. You know, they didn't really have a chance to change much in terms of their recruiting structure in one year, so you think the team ought to be fairly equipped to be able to go back to the 3-4.
From the fans who chimed in, you mentioned the questions, be it the defense, the new staff, the dismissal of Darren Carrington. Were fans mostly concerned about the defense, focused on other areas? What kind of popped with you about maybe what's at the front of the minds of Oregon fans?
You know, it was kind of all over the board. We obviously took questions, several questions about Willie Taggart and just his philosophy. I think fans are interested in knowing what the new era of Oregon football is going to be like, because you know, all of us are still sort of figuring it out. But you know, especially the fans, they haven't seen this team play yet. All they really know about Willie Taggart is what they've seen, you know, on the news, the radio interviews, what they read in the paper. People are still sort of getting their arms around what this program is going to be like with Willie, and I think that probably was the common area of interest for a lot of people who came out there that night.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Your Sunday piece was kind of an eye-opener. I think the average fan, heck, even us in the media, when there's a coaching change, we're like, well, will they be better? Are they going to be contenders? But if you can kind of give an overview for those who missed it, the massive people impact when a program the size of Oregon hires a new head football coach, it's kind of astounding.
Yeah, well, the goal of that piece was to take a look at the coaching transition at a deeper level than just the head coach and the assistant coaches. Because when you change football coaches in college sport, I think it's the biggest transition you can make, even maybe up to the athletic director. I don't think there's anybody who has a greater effect on the overall direction of an athletic department than the football coach. The football team is winning. It trickles down to everybody in the athletic department. And the flip side of that is if the football team isn't winning, then everybody feels the change when you have a transition. And that's been the case here. I went through the personnel records, and it was more than 20 employees who were affected in some way. You look at the support staff, the academic staff, the strength staff. It's just a massive transition. And I think, you know, I talked with Rob Mullins, and he feels good about the transition and how it's gone, but there's just no way around it. When you change football coaches, it's like no other move you make in an athletic department in terms of all the people who are affected by it.
Yeah, now, also what I didn't realize, because who thinks of these things unless it directly impacts you, but it's not like there were X amount of football positions to fill, and whether it's Coach Helf or Bellotti or Taggart, they all fill. They can add a position or take away positions, and some just no longer exist?
Yeah, one of the interesting things to me that Rob Mullins said was that when they were interviewing coaching candidates, they showed each candidate a copy of their football organizational chart and said, here's how we do things. Here's how we're set up. What would you do with this? And for the most part, Willie has kept the same structure in place with his own people. But one of the things he did do, that there were two positions he eliminated. One of them was the position that was held by Tom Hart, who does sort of the security, bodyguard, some various things. And the other position was an academic coordinator position for the football team, somebody who'd been around quite some time. So for the most part, Willie's kept the structure intact, but there were a couple positions that he did change.
I always thought that if I was a head coach, I would definitely want one of those guys who look like those big old Southern state troopers running alongside me on and off the field.
Well, you know what's funny now? You know what's funny? They don't have Tom Hart anymore as the bodyguard for the coach, but campus security now has somebody who looks like he's an MMA cage fighter. You know, just ripped, big muscles, tattoos, packing heat. So if anybody was thinking, "Oh, I'm gonna run out on the practice field and be an idiot now because Tom Hart is gone," think twice, because there is still security.
The ultimate word to the wise. And, of course, you mentioned Rob Mullins, the man who made the decision. Now, he got a new contract. I guess you would call it his personal security before last season. Well, what did he say about what that meant for him? Because, you don't think about it. He had four or five bosses his first 7 years here because, as you wrote, he's kind of looking for stability in a pretty unstable business.
Well, when the news came out about Rob Mullins' contract extension, I think a lot of us were trying to figure out the timing of it. You know, it wasn't announced at the time. It happened in the middle of the football season last year, and Rob was only 2 years into a contract that he signed after the college football playoff. So the timing of it was a little bit curious, and I was asking Rob about that. Basically what he said is he had been in discussions with Michael Schill, the university president, going back to the summer before last football season, and they had actually agreed on a contract before the football season, which, you know, obviously the way the football season went was not the way anybody anticipated. So in some ways it was probably fortuitous timing that they got that worked out before the season. But I think Rob's point was just what you brought up, that in the time he's been the athletic director here, there's been a lot of turnover in the president's office. And as an AD, that's your boss. You work for the president, and so you want to have a good relationship with the president, and you want to feel like you have the trust of the president. And I think it was just a situation where Rob felt like, hey, you know, the last contract I signed was with somebody else in the president's office, and it would be good to have that stability of knowing that the new president, the president that's there now, values what you do. And so I think that was part of the reason why Rob wanted to get an extension done and wanted to set it up so that, he also mentioned the term of it, to be there while his kid was still in high school. His son graduates from high school 7 years down the road, so he wanted to get the term matched up so he could be there through his son's graduation.
No, it was an interesting angle on something I'm sure the average fan doesn't even give a second thought. Let's wrap with this, today's piece, coaches who at times don't seem thrilled to have to deal with the media, then all of a sudden they're in the media behind the mic. And, of course, Chip Kelly, Mark Helfrich. I always think of Bobby Knight, who actually became a pretty good analyst. So in a nutshell, you decided to come up with advice for these guys as they turn in their team colors for their network colors?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to disagree with you. I could not stand Bobby Knight as an analyst. I thought he was terrible. But to each his own, you know, that's all right. You know me, Steve. I always want to make everybody in the media fraternity feel welcome. Any new members, I want to, you know, roll out the welcome mat. We're all just one big happy family in the media after all. So, you know, you see these former coaches getting jobs in the broadcast booth, Mark Helfrich and Chip Kelly, et cetera. So, you know, I just wanted to give them some helpful suggestions, welcome them to our team, just wish them well, and hope that their transition is going good and that they're not too depressed about having to be one of us now instead of coaching on the sideline.
Well, I'm really curious to see, especially with Coach Kelly and Helfrich, the approach they take. But, yeah, I was gone a while, and it was fun to catch up with all you had up your sleeve because you certainly, I guess, wandered outside the mainstream. But appreciate you getting us kicked off as always, Austin. Great stuff. And we'll be catching up soon at actual football games.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Talk to you next week.
All right. Take it easy.